go ahead and say what's on my heart. If you're battling a depression today, and everybody does at some time or another, I'll tell you something, God's greater, God's powerful. I know what it is to deal with depression. It's part of brain injury, but I believe God can turn my brain around. So God is the master of lifting depression, despair, fear, all the things. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter. I want to talk to Vega today about genuine faith. You hear things advertised continually. And some things are claimed to be genuine, but they're really not. Find out that too late if you've paid money for it already. But I believe that there is a genuine faith in God, that God can. It's not a fake faith. It's not sort of faith. It's not trying to believe hard enough, but it's a faith that's given by God, true faith, genuine faith. But the book of 1 Peter here, let's notice as this is a general epistle to all peoples. And let's notice what it says. 1 Peter 1, 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little time, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, God, for your word, God, to talk to the heart of people as only you can do today, Father. Be a freedom, God, of the Holy Spirit to operate as you wish. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Genuine faith. It bothers me sometimes that people can just leave the faith and say, well, I just don't need God anymore, I don't need charity anymore. I'm just going to go back the way I was before God saved me. It's not genuine faith. But genuine faith is believing that God has brought you this far, brought you into the kingdom of God, and given you faith to progress and to go on no matter what life may offer. I'm going to live for God no matter what. Have a made up mind. Amen. Nothing's going to take me away from this. But many things are advertised as genuine, but many times they turn out to be anything but genuine. How many times do you see this advertised? I'm going to get to the spiritual here in a minute. But like leather seats in your car. A leather car interior, but after some wear and tear, we see that it was just something that looked like leather. And there's many things that look good and look genuine, but when it's gone through the test of time for a little while, you find out it wasn't genuine at all. But that's not that way with our faith in God. God has proven himself over and over, time and time again, that he's not fake or phony. He is genuine, and our faith in him can be a faith that just does not start one day and end the next, but a faith that's continuing and a faith that leads us to heaven. Amen. Leads us to belief in what Jesus did for us on the cross and his resurrection. And so here in our scripture, it deals with, in the first part of the reading here, it deals with the sanctification of the Spirit, and I do believe that God is filled us with his Spirit to sanctify us. The word sanctification means to be set apart from evil and devoted to God. Twofold meaning there. Holy Spirit does that. The sprinkling of the blood of Christ refers to Old Testament, where that blood was sprinkled on the from the sacrifice onto various things, sanctifying them. And of course, we were sprinkled with the blood of Christ at the cross, in the figurative sense. Amen. And so, we've been born again into genuine faith. And let's deal first of all with we're birthed into genuine hope. Verses 3 and 4 of our text here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His mercy, abundant mercy, has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen. So we've been birthed into a genuine hope, a living hope, not a dead hope, not a wish, not perhaps, not a hope that somehow things will get better or things will improve. And people have hopes in various things, not in riches, not in that lottery ticket that you wasted your money on will give you something. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I found one in the offering plate one time. It didn't make anybody rich. I threw it away. But there's no hope in this world, what it has to offer, but all real hope is found in Christ. Not in riches, not in something we can earn, but hope is given by God, and genuinely we have been birthed genuinely into hope. When you were born again of God's Spirit, God gave you real hope. We've been birthed into living hope, made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And real hope comes from God. Romans 5:5, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us." So God has given us all that we have that's good. God has given it to us. Amen. You may be good at certain things, but I want to tell you, if you're good, really the only good in us is Christ in us. Amen. Jesus was bodily resurrected from the dead, and He could proclaim to His people, especially after His resurrection, He said, "I am He who lives and was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." My friend, we have hope in Christ. We have hope what He did on the cross. We have hope in His resurrection. Amen. We're not going to leave Him on that cross. He rose again the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, has the authority and the power to give eternal life now. My friend, people are dead in trespasses and sins, but God can save that person and give them life, eternal life, and hope that cannot be purchased or bought anywhere else, that God has to give it. We're birthed into genuine hope. To some, hope means something in the future. People hope their Social Security check will be what it's promised to be. You need to pray. People hope they don't die of some disease. People hope that things will go as planned, and many times they don't. People hope the stock market will not crash and cause another Great Depression. My dad talked to a man that felt like we're on the edge of that any day. Of course, my dad and my mother went through the Great Depression. And it could happen, but I'm not worried about it. So our hope is not found on what God can produce or reproduce. Our hope isn't based on anything we can produce. You can't produce hope. I can't either. Only God can give hope. God has a retirement plan that, I tell you, it's beyond this world, literally out of this world. Praise God. And so, genuine faith, we've been birthed into a genuine hope. Okay? Not only a genuine hope, but we've been birthed into an eternal hope. Not a temporary hope. It's not to say, well, I made it to church today, so I have a little hope for tomorrow. If I obeyed God today, then God's going to give me hope Monday. No, we've been born again into an eternal, not just hope, an eternal hope. A genuine hope, yes, but also an eternal hope. And it bothers me that people can live all their lives and not even, or claim they do not believe in God, or don't believe in eternity. I read where that a great physician, man that is a heart doctor for the government, I forget his name. But anyway, he said, "I've never seen a deathbed atheist." In history, famous anti-Christian atheist, Voltaire, on his deathbed, he said, "I'm abandoned by God and man." He supposedly didn't believe in God, but he said, "I'm abandoned by God and man," end quote. He said to his physician, Dr. Fauchin, I quote, "I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months of life." When he was told this was impossible, he said, "Then I shall die and go to hell." Apparently, to a hell that he supposedly didn't believe in, but that was some of his last words. His nurse said, "For all the money of Europe, I would not want to see another unbeliever, infidel, die." All night long, he cried for forgiveness. Suddenly, he was not an atheist anymore, because he's going to face God. But we don't have to face death that way. We face death with hope. Amen. Not just hope it's better, but knowing that it's better. Praise God that we will receive a glorified body that's not subject to disease, decay, or depression, or discouragement, or despair. A glorified body like unto Jesus' glorious body. But the believer's hope is based on Jesus' resurrection. And if Jesus had the authority to lay down his life and the authority to take it up again, he has also the authority to give life again. Many people today, some who go to church, and some in the church world don't believe in the rapture, don't believe in the second coming of Christ, don't believe in a coming judgment, don't believe in heaven or hell, they say. Why do people get to this point? Maybe they were never truly born again of God's Spirit. It is sad, but much of the church world today, I'm told, don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. My friend, the Word of God is infallible. It's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Amen. The Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for rebuke. And some people need to be rebuked. I'm not telling you to go to somebody and rebuke them. But the Word of God is profitable to lead us, to guide us, to keep us, to show us the way to go, and God's Word tells us how to get to heaven, tells us what's right and what's wrong, and tells us that we need to follow Jesus all the days of our life. Okay, so we've been birthed into an eternal inheritance. People in an earthly inheritance, many times they argue and fuss over things and even go to court because they, you know, brother or sister got more than they did. I wonder how God looks at that. How foolish that is, because everything down here is temporary. Clothes you're wearing is temporary. At least you're wearing some. Amen. Your car is temporary. Well, that wears out after a while. Amen. After a while, it starts knocking because it's low on oil. People get low on the Holy Spirit. They start knocking a preacher, Sunday school teacher, song leader, the deacon, anybody. So when you get filled up with the Holy Spirit, so it won't be knocking things. Amen. Where that came from, but anyway. Jesus promised eternal inheritance. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." We can believe this. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, this is God's promise to us. Jesus was just about to be crucified, and he tells his disciples, "Don't let your heart be troubled." He's saying, "Oh, don't worry about it." If you knew anything about what crucifixion was, everybody would be worried if they had to be crucified, because it was the most horrible means of execution that carnal man has ever come up with, or one of the worst. But Jesus said, "I'm going away, and I'm going to complete this." He was going to complete his work at the cross, where he could say the plan of redemption is taken care of. It is finished, in his words. And so God is going to prepare a place for us, a place in his eternity. Does God need me and you in his eternity? I don't think God needs anything. God wants, God desires, and out of the love and grace of his heart, he wants you to be in his eternity. You can put yourself, your only name in that. He wants you in His eternity. What for? Amen. Some people would ask that, why would God save this one? How would God save that? And who am I to say who God would save and who not, who He wouldn't save? God has a place prepared for you in His eternity. I don't think when we get to heaven we're going to argue who's got the best mansion, who has the best place. But we're just going to have a place that God has prepared for us. And God tells us something about that place, the place where there's complete holiness, complete absence of sin, fear, and failure. Amen. You're not going to be worried when you're in heaven, oh, how long is this going to last? It's going to last forever. God tells us we can believe His word. Amen. There are two places prepared. God has a place prepared for you in His eternity, but there's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't want to go there. But we're birthed into an eternal inheritance, and Scripture promises this. And in 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." And if you're sleepy this morning, take this. "We shall not all sleep," meaning sleep in death, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, for the last trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible," or imperishable. Okay? And so, there's places in the church world where some people believe in soul sleep, that when you die, your soul just sleeps inside the body until the resurrection. That is a false doctrine. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The spirit man leaves the body at death and goes to be with the Lord immediately. Amen. When Stephen, the first Christian martyr, when he was dying, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And so we know that the spirit is separated from the body at death. The spirit goes to be with Christ eternally. So we shall not all sleep, because there's no soul sleep. And the church are a people expecting for Jesus to return. Amen. And so we should be expecting Jesus to return any time. That doesn't mean you go on your way and you don't take care of business and you quit your job and sell all you have. And why would you sell all you have? Amen. A number of years ago, somebody wrote, it's 12 o'clock already. Amen. So I'm taking time for God here, it's okay. But we're looking and expecting the return of Christ. God is not coming back for a people that are playing with sin. He's not coming back for a people who have forsaken the house of worship and no longer want to meet together and worship. God told us to meet together and worship. He's not coming back for a people whose hope is wrapped up in material possessions, because you're going to take nothing with you when you leave this world. Amen. But if you got Christ, you've got everything. You couldn't want more. There couldn't be more than to be born again of God's Spirit and know that God has control of you, and you will rise to meet the Lord in the air when the trumpet sounds and God calls. You can't stay here. Amen. What about this? What about that? I'll tell you something, friend. They can have my house, my land, whatever I've got. I'll take heaven and Jesus any day over any of that. Praise the Lord. So we're birthed into an eternal inheritance. Scripture promises this. And it says here in our scripture reading today, we've been born again, begotten again into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. Okay? Our inheritance and our hope of heaven is not something that will fade away with time. My friend, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Hallelujah. When you see the world in turmoil, just know you're not going to be here forever. God's got another place prepared for you. Glory to God. And I want to pray for Israel every day, and I do every day, and you should. Amen. That's the covenant people of God through whom God brought Christ through, the Savior of the world. That all nations of the world could be blessed through Abraham's, God's promise to Abraham and to us. So an inheritance, heavenly inheritance, does not fade away. This one down here may. You know, things of this world fade away, all excitement of a vacation, days spent on the beach. That's not my dream of a vacation, being a beach nut. The dream of some view of nature, a different place, and God made nature, and I awe at what he did and does. But after a few days, the excitement of going somewhere different fades away and becomes history and becomes a memory. And there's many things that just become a memory. And like a phone call that says you want a free trip to the Bahamas, all expenses paid, except food and motel. And you know, the promises they make, they can't be telling them fully the truth. But you see, that's temporary. It may come up, it may come to pass, but it will just be a memory eventually. But this inheritance with God is reserved. It says, here in our scripture, it says, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Verse 4, reserved in heaven for you. And God has got that in reserve, and God has got it in an account that nobody can steal from. There are no thieves in heaven. Amen. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's not subject to theft, not subject to anything that happens on earth, war or famine or loss of things. Of all things, nothing can take away what God has reserved in heaven for you. God's got a life that's beyond this world. Amen. A life that's beyond this physical body, an eternal life that he made and prepared for us. My friend, it's reserved in heaven for you. We're going to dwell with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever. Hallelujah. And it says, reserved in heaven for you. It's not only reserved, but it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this inheritance that God has for us is kept by the power of God. You know, I want God to be my keeper. Amen. In the book of Judas, it says, now to him who's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you. We're kept by the fire of power of God through faith unto salvation. And so God keeps us. Praise the Lord. And the same Jesus who saved us keeps us. The same Jesus that saved us preserves us. The same Jesus that saved us walks with us. The same Jesus that saved us encourages us when we're discouraged and in despair and depression. God can lift people and does lift people out of that. Amen. And so God, the same Jesus that saves us, keeps us, preserves us, walks with us, encourages us, and he constantly assures us that he's returning one day in the clouds of heaven. And we are a people who are looking for a city. I went to college with people from Oklahoma, and they would say, are you going to the city this weekend? Well, I was a little disappointed because I'm looking something better than Oklahoma City or a city in Texas or anywhere. But the Bible tells us that God has prepared a place and a city for us. And Abraham looked all of his life and went through the land of Canaan, but he never did find it. But he said he looked, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. That's the city I'm looking for. In Hebrews 11:16, it says, now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen. Hebrews 12:22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Won't heaven be wonderful, friend? Amen. It's a city that God has prepared for his people, and you'll be members of that city. Hebrews 13:14, we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Every city here is temporary. I don't care how big it is, how populated it is. One day it'll be gone. But God, we have no continuing city here, but in Christ we have a continuing city, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, a city where the people never weep for the dead, a place where people never cry, where people never murmur, where people never complain. That would be a miracle. Amen. We have a city where there's no sickness, sorrow, pain, or death. That's the city I want to be a member of. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Revelation 21, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, a bride, I've preached some that were weddings that were different, but bride puts on her best, usually. But my friend, the holiness and the greatness of God, you're clothed with the righteousness of Christ, prepares you to meet God. And this holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, many believe, scholars believe, that the new heaven and the new earth, the new city, coming down from God out of heaven, will set upon the Jerusalem that's on earth now to just be changed and be different. But God is coming to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, much different from our earth today. And Revelation 21:10, he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. I want to tell you something, friend. If you know Christ as your Savior, then your faith is genuine. It's real. I want to tell you, friend, one day heaven is going to be a blessed reality. It's real right now. But when we get there, we're going to realize that God has prepared this place for me. It'll be the most glorious place that you can ever imagine. No sickness, sorrow, pain, or death. It'll be a place where there's no complaints, where there's no bad neighbors. It'll be a place where there's no television, people arguing, no talk shows in heaven. God did all of the talking. He created it. He's right. He's not going to be wrong. He doesn't have to ask to let you figure out whether he's right or not. He is right about everything. My friend, we've got a glorious time ahead of us. You can't afford to miss what God has. Don't miss heaven for this world or anything it has to offer. Live for God. Serve God. Put your complete faith, genuine faith in Christ. He's got everything taken care of. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? With every head bowed here, just and eyes closed, let me just ask you for a minute. Do you have that genuine faith? Do you really know you're on your way to heaven? Have you said, I've made things right with God? I believe what Jesus did on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again from the dead. People can believe that. And not really be saved, because being saved is giving your life to Jesus. Yes, it is believing that, but it's giving your life to God. I've made the decision to follow you the rest of my life. I'm not going to return to a life of sin and sorrow and pain and end up in hell one day. I'm going to live for Jesus now and go to the city you've been talking about in the Word of God. If there's doubt, skepticism, it keeps you from having genuine faith and believing that it's real and believing it's for you. My friend, you need to make things right with God today. Say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll get in church one of these days when I don't have anything else to do. My friend, somebody my age and your age will about die today. It could be me or you. God's in charge of that. But he wants you to go to the place he's prepared for you. But if today you're not living right, or you don't have things right with God, you don't have peace in your heart, if today was your day that you'd be ready to meet God, would you raise a hand? My friend, let's pray together. It doesn't mean you're weak or you're different from everybody else. It just means you need God. And you're smart enough to realize I need Jesus today. Are you here anywhere? I need Christ today. Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. God will pray with you. God will give you assurance and peace concerning eternity. He can do that today. Amen. I know that he does. Praise the Lord. If not, let's pray together. And there may be some that are watching. I venture to say media, because we get taught about media today, but we are on a place where people can reach us in the electronic field. And let me just say, if there are those that are watching that way this morning, and you realize your need for God, Simply pray this prayer with me. If you're not certain that you're ready and on your way to heaven, please pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I've not believed in you. I've not given my heart to you. But I realize that I'm not headed for heaven if I don't. I make the choice to believe that Jesus, that you took the death penalty for my sins on the cross, and I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to save me from my sins. I ask you to forgive me of everything I've said, done, or thought that's not pleasing to you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and take charge of my life. And I make the choice to walk with you and obey you and to read your word, God, where it tells me how to live. I commit my life to you, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Amen. Let me pray for you, church. Father, I thank you, God, for this congregation of people who believe that you're real. Many that have genuine faith, hopefully all, and are ready to meet you, God. And Lord, I believe that your coming is so near and so close, and we don't know the day nor the hour, only you know. But I pray, God, not one of us would miss it when you call. I pray when the trumpet sounds, we would all be ready to meet God, because we've genuinely believed in the one who died and rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. Lord Jesus, we want to go to that place you prepared for us. Bless, encourage, and strengthen us as we go our ways, as we face another week, God. Let us face it in faith. Let our life be a testimony and life that shines in the darkest world that we live in, so that people may see the light, see their need to come to Christ. We worship you. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Be with us tonight at 6. God bless you. God loves you. We love you. Amen.